Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to The Balance, the only sports talk show that gives a well-balanced diet of sports. Host Tom Marquis and the gang are ready to break down this week in sports. This is the one place where fanatics can come together and talk about their favorite teams. The Balance brings you an analytical breakdown of sports from a fan's point of view. So sit back and get ready. It's time for The Balance.
Talking. I'm sorry I disappointed you all guys, but RadioSpeedTalk.com. I forgot to say that last second. Didn't
I almost got another root beer out of Kenny.
I'm not making that bet.
It's time for Speed Talk with host Cliff Tanner.
You have a beautiful speaking voice.
I'm special and you're not.
From AMA to IRL and NHRA.
Sorry, gentlemen, I'm not a fan of that.
Even NASCAR.
Ooh, I'm ready for NASCAR.
In-person interviews and giveaways.
Incredible talent, incredible variety, like never seen on any other show before.
Along with the ride, as always, is Kenny Bard. You can always visit the gang at RadioSpeedTalk.com.
Welcome back to Speed Talk, the first one of 2013. Guess what? We survived the apocalypse. What, three times this year, I think? Because you had the pastor who passed away, so to speak. The world was going to end, was it June? And then
That's right, that dude in Utah.
Yeah,
I forgot about him.
He said, no, I was off by a couple of months. Well, that went by, the Mayans went by, and Oreo Cookie still survives. Because if you look at the Mayan calendar and Oreo Cookie, they both kind of look alike. But, hey, we're back. A lot of cool things coming up. I'm sorry, man.
Where did you get that?
Have you ever seen that? It's all over everywhere.
Well, I don't
think
it looked like an art. No, I guess.
If you
travel different
together,
circles, I
just,
guess.
Yeah, anyway. So they say that the Oreo Cookie actually predicted that it wasn't going to work. You didn't know that? Anyway,
the last Oreo cookie I had, I ate a big bag of them just before I went to the dentist, but that's the last time I've seen it.
Well, now that we've wasted the first minute on bad jokes, that was Kenny Barr you heard. We've got Tom Wolf, Tiny's behind the board. Got my grandson Mark here with me today, and a special guest is going to help us out with a roundtable, and he's actually going to give us some insight on some good racing going on, I guess, regionally and locally. Keith Beeching from Winchester Speedway. Okay, Keith, welcome.
Thank you.
Appreciate you joining us.
Thank you. Glad to be here.
Are we sure about that?
He's got the first part down right.
We haven't grilled you yet, so.
We'll see. Ask me at the end of the show.
Yeah. See how fast he runs out the door.
Yeah, there you go. But, yeah, we're going to talk a lot about that. And Winchester getting ready to start its 99th year, and we'll have a discussion about that. Welcome back to Speed Talk, and I'm sorry I disappointed you all guys, but, RadioSpeedTalk.com, and I forgot to say that last segment, didn't I?
Yeah, I almost got another root beer out of Kenny.
I'm not making that bet.
Facebook.com/RadioSpeedTalk, and Kenny, Twitter?
Yep, KennyBar52.
Tom?
Instagram, Speed Talk This.
Radio Speed Talk 2, the number 2, not the words. And again, I was going to say, I'm sorry I disappointed you all on the biggest, you know, sporting event.
You didn't disappoint at all.
Okay.
And the only disappointment was that.
That's what you said. That's it?
I thought there'd be bacon and ribs and, you know, a big party going. And then maybe there's going to be. So.
But there'd probably be some Jeff Foxworthy's
grit chips.
Yeah.
Oh, boy. I see some of them there.
I wish they'd announced this earlier. We could have made arrangements to get down there. But that's right in the middle of the week, too, isn't it?
Yeah, it's Wednesday, right smack in the middle.
Well, it's the only time they can probably do it.
Yeah.
They're busy racing.
Yeah.
But I'm sure there's going to be more people coming in there. But, yeah, Mark Martin would have been a good choice to see that. But get out there and check it out if you can, man, because it's a good cause. 5 to 6 is an autograph session, limited to the first 200 fans. 6 to 7 is warm-up. 7 p.m. is game time. And there's a post-game concert by Daryl Harwood. Again, that's at CMC Northeast Stadium in you know what I'm saying. Where Dale's from.
Yeah.
Everybody can know.
Kannapolis, North Carolina.
Anyway, we talked, Kenny, you and I have discussed this in the past, and I don't ever like to talk about people getting killed at a racetrack, but we had an incident over at Marysville Raceway Park, just north of Sacramento, and a 17-year-old kid was racing on dirt. The steering wheel came off, and he ended up going into the crowd and killing, I believe it was 2 people. Again, it was the pit crowd, not the crowd.
Right.
Thank God that didn't happen. But they said that, it seemed to be mechanical where the steering wheel came off. And I understand that can happen, but it brings up the age-old question, Kenny. I know you and I have talked about this when we've been to tracks, when you talk about 14-year-old, 15-year-old kids driving. You know, how can you react? But then again, when you're in a steering wheel, I don't care who you are, you could be Dale Earnhardt Sr., the best driver ever lived, Richard Petty and them guys. When that comes off, what are you going
to
do?
Put it back on, which has happened before to guys. I mean, but a sprint car, it's not nearly as easy as if it pops off. We got a guy that takes it off, not during the race, but on the caution period because he's so particular about the center of the steering wheel.
Really?
We have seen him. We've seen the knucklehead do it. He'll reach behind her and pop that ring loose. Take it off and then move it a tooth and then put it back on. And you know him. We've seen him do it going down the track. We've seen him stop.
No, really?
Yeah.
Are we talking about the same guy I'm thinking?
Yes, you are.
Mr.
Junior does it all the time.
Oh, he's, Junior, okay.
Yeah, kooky nut. They usually make sure nobody's around him or he'll stop.
But how fast is he going when that happens?
With caution.
But the thing that you got to be careful of is that ring has really got to be snapped back in there.
Yeah.
If you don't get it in there firm, it's going to come off there. And I have known Vern Schrock. The steering wheel came off on him one time at Villa. He said, I just put it back on. Crammed it right back on there and stuff because there's not a lot holding them on. Years ago, it used to be just a lock nut. And, you know, a threaded rod had come up through the firewall, and that's all there was to it. I mean, you
well,
can take it off and point the steering wheel. Somebody put it right back on if you wanted to.
That's one of the things they were talking about was they're supposed to have some kind of a safety thing if you hit
yep.
a certain amount. I mean, feasibly, I guess it could happen, right?
So I'd love
well,
to
Well, we've seen
if,
it happen.
Yeah.
We saw it happen to Steve Park, you know
That's
years
true.
Back.
Yeah, I'd forgotten
you know?
About that.
Steering
yeah.
wheel came off, and he turned sideways. I think he took out Junior, and he, you know, slammed that inside wall. So, you know, we're not talking any big groundbreaking thing here about a steering wheel coming off.
Yeah, the bad thing is somebody got killed. So
right.
Be, any mechanical part is subject to failure. And it could have been installation failure. It could have, the ring could have cracked. Who knows what happened to the thing. It's terribly tragic.
Well, that hasn't been brought up as to what happened. And unfortunately, one of the guys, the young kid that were killed, a 17-year-old, was this guy's cousin.
Right.
Which, you know, which makes it worse.
Oh, jeez. Yeah.
But I thought, you know, I got to bring this up, and I'm not trying to make light of it, but it was actually called the California Sprint Car Civil War Series. But, you know, does that, I guess, Kenny, what I'm trying to get at, would age have made a difference if a steering wheel comes off in that situation?
No. No, I don't think so. No matter why the steering wheel came off, unless he was negligent in getting it on right. And but that could happen to you, me, Tiny, Steve, anybody,
sure.
Tom, anybody. Especially if you're in a hurry and you want to get out there and you're trying to cram it on there and you got your helmet on, you got your earbuds in there and you don't hear the click, you don't feel the click. You go out there and everything feels good for 2-3 laps. All of a sudden, that baby's in your hand, and you don't have time for the oh shit moment. It's just happening.
Right.
Well, yeah, I mean, because they figured he was coming out of the, you know, about going 90 going into the turn when it happened. So.
And he—that's hustling because this is a quarter mile dirt.
Right.
So, yeah, he was a full bore, I'm sure.
Well, let's talk about age.
Hmm.
You know, we've talked about that a little bit in the past, but you know, and we've never really brought it on the show. But I just want to bring it up on the show because you know I've seen some local boys that are 14, 15, 16 years old that cause all kinds of havoc. But then you turn around and you look at guys like. Well, I mean, even Kyle Larson when he was young coming through. You've got the Kenseth kid, Ross Kenseth. You've got
Kyle Benjamin.
Kyle Benjamin. I mean, there's
you
just.
You got our buddy Eric Jones.
Eric
who just
Jones.
Signed with Kyle Busch Racing.
That made you mad, didn't it?
No, not really, because I want to see him do good. And Busch spends money. It's not like. No,
right.
It's just. I just don't like Kyle's racing style and his attitude.
Okay.
Everything else
Sorry.
Is okay. But,
and his car.
Yeah. That changes, you know, from year to year. I mean, he'll be in a Chevy or Ford or something else down the road, or a Hyundai or some other foreign puke, whatever pops up.
Kia.
Oh, yeah, that's the one I was trying to not say. I'm not even going to whisper that.
I know that gets you fired up, that's why I said that. But, anyway.
Boy, there's a lot of young kids that are doing nice jobs and stuff, but boy, oh, boy, I just... There's got to be a line in the sand somewhere. I mean, a legal driver's license, someplace.
It's time for Speed Talk. With host Cliff Tanner.
You have a beautiful speaking voice.
I'm special and you're not.
From AMA to IRL and NHRA.
Sorry, gentlemen, I'm not a fan of that.
Even NASCAR.
Ooh, I'm ready for NASCAR.
In-person interviews and giveaways.
Incredible talent, incredible variety, like never seen on any other show before.
Along with the ride, as always, is Kenny Bard. You can always visit the gang at RadioSpeedTalk.com.
Welcome to Speed Talking, and hey, hey, hey.
What?
You guys are laughing already.
We just counted down with our fingers.
Yeah, I know. You keep telling me I'm number one. I understand all that. Welcome to Speed Talk, RadioSpeedTalk.com, Facebook.com/RadioSpeedTalk. And we'll just go around the room. Tommy, where are you at? Well, that was Tom Wolf. We've got Kenny Barr, Tiny Behind the Boards. I'm Cliff Tanner. Where are they going to catch you to see your pictures?
They're going
to
catch me at Tom@RadioSpeedTalk.com, or they can catch me on Instagram at SpeedSnapThis.
Sweet. Get out there and do me a favor. Get the guy some fans, man. I'm telling you what, because you are in for some great photographs coming this summer, because we got a lot of stuff going to be happening, I hope. Kenny, what do you think? Catch you on Twitter?
Yeah, KennyBar52.
And I'm at Radio Speed Talk 2, and that's the number 2, not the letters or the word 2. A lot of stuff to talk about. Bristol, baby. Our favorite kind of racing for most of us, I should say.
That was good for me. I don't have a problem with the short tracks. It's your
okay,
dirt.
I just
want to
make sure because I don't want to. Yeah, we'll we should throw some dirt on Bristol. Anyway, we'll talk about that.
They call it Eldora.
Good point. But we'll talk about that. We'll talk about what happened at the NHRA this week. I'm going to talk a little bit about what happened over there in California with the crash. And Kenny and I have talked a little bit about the age thing when it comes to how old you have to be or you should be to be in competitive racing. That kind of brings into that and whether it was really a mechanical malfunction and all that good stuff. We're also going to talk about the greatest sporting event that is going to happen on Wednesday, April 17, 2013, just released. It's going to be the greatest thing you've ever seen. Everybody's got to be there, be ready to take some pictures. We'll talk about that. We got Do You Know, and we'll also talk about Lucas Oil Raceway. It's nothing on there. I mean, this was literally just released, like, within the last hour. But
what the hell is he talking about?
I have no idea, but if it involves bacon, bourbon, or anything fast, I'm in.
Well, it probably has some of that involved in that, but I think it's kind of a cool idea, but, well, hell, you know, you got me in it. We'll go ahead and announce it.
No, save it for a surprise. I want to guess.
All right, we can do that. All right, Bristol, I got to tell you, man, I love the short track racing, and I got to say, I was impressed. I'm back on the bandwagon with Darrell Waltrip. He gets me going sometimes where I can't stand him for a long time, and then he'll say something like, Kenny Wallace has said to us in the past, Tom, you know that, we need more short tracks on
yes.
the circuit.
Yeah, I would agree with that. I don't have a problem with short tracks at all.
Good beating and banging going on. We'll talk about that in a little bit. But I want to press this issue, or talk about this issue. They always talk about wanting to fill the stands, but, dude, that was the worst showing I have ever seen at a Bristol race in my entire – that was the worst showing I've seen in some racetracks. There was so many empty seats.
But did you see the television ratings?
They were high.
Very high. It's like 7.5 million viewers on Sunday, and it was the highest rated show over the weekend.
Did it beat out Danica?
It beat out everybody.
On Daytona?
I didn't look that. They didn't release that
okay.
Daytona thing.
Well, I got to tell you, I was really surprised at how many empty seats were on the front stretch. And you would think that would be one of the best places to see the action because going into turn one and coming out of turn four, that seems where a lot of the action usually takes place.
Yeah, but if you're not up in the Tom's Canadian geese seats up there, you can you can see that joint pretty well for the first, 80,000 seats or so. The second 80,000 is a little tough.
Yeah, and you got to keep in mind, too, that, you know, it's in Bristol, and Bristol's a small town. So, and I was there, you know, a few years back. It's been quite some time, but I can't imagine that they've built a whole lot of hotels out there. So Bristol's one of those tracks where you're camping around it if you're going to
sure.
be there for the entire weekend, or you're driving, you know, I think 35 or 40 miles from Knoxville, Tennessee, to get there. So, you know, that could have something to do with it also, but, you know, the racing was good finally.
It was very awesome. And Bruton is talking about changing it back to the way it was again. I think he needs to leave it alone because we saw some pretty good racing.
Yeah.
I got to tell you that my most impressive thing was Joey Logano this weekend. He actually grew a pair.
Yeah.
Or he jumped up and down on the sidewalk and his testes fell out, one of the two. as a matter of fact, it was amazing how many people lit up my phone texting me, wow, Logano grew some.
Well, I don't think he grew some. I think, you know, I think there's a, you know, when we get into talking about the age and the thing in California, I just think that there's a point where you expect too much out of a young kid without putting him in
absolutely.
Either the truck series or nationwide to get some experience at that level. And I think he was rushed there by Gibbs to fill the seat that Tony Stewart left, obviously. They didn't, you know, they didn't know who to put there. And you know, I think, I honestly think that leaving Gibbs is his best move because driving for a guy like Roger Penske is going to take him to the next level.
Well, I was just going to say, I don't think it's so much what you said until that last part was, I don't think it's age. And yes, he did get slammed into it, I'll give you that much. But you said the key word. He left Gibbs, went to Penske, and he's with one of the bad boys now, quote unquote, with Keselowski and Penske, as far as that goes, a rough guy. And it was just nice to finally see him go. And I think that what Hamlin did to him was wrong.
Yes.
I don't care what he did. You know, I understand you want to tap a guy. There's one thing about tapping a guy, and there's, you know, when you turn your right fender into the rear wheel, that's an intention to wreck it.
Right.
That's bottom line.
Yeah.
Am I right, Mr. Barr?
In some places, and that's one of them, yeah.
It's not in all case in all places? I always thought
no,
that
I can
was.
Tap you at a lot of places and to just move you a little bit and not wreck you. Oh, that's an easy thing to do. But Bristol, you can't do that.
Okay. See, I didn't know that. I assumed that if you did that all the time, and, you know, again, that's why we have you.
When we get
master.
In a celebrity race somewhere this summer, whether it's on a lawnmower or whatever it is, you get in front of me, and I'll demonstrate that deal.
We can do that.
Hot diggity, I'm awake now. Let's go.
Well, we have another different winner, Casey Kane, although I'm not sure, you know, if Brad Keselowski wouldn't have made his move. But, again, you know, he spun his tires with 39 laps to go, and Kane just pretty much ran away with it.
That and he had old tires and elected to stay on old tires. Interesting tire strategy. I'd like to see what would happen if he didn't spin them, but
it almost worked.
He tried everything he could to get that Ford underneath that Toyota, and he was underneath there a lot.
Oh,
and you just couldn't close the deal. And you got to be able to get a grip coming off and give him a slide job now.
You mispronounced that.
Whatever.
It's Toyota.
Well, I told you, I'm trying to be a little more PC. So, I mean, if I don't have to be, I won't be.
Well, nobody said you had to. You said
it. Practicing for affiliates down the road here, you know. So.
Yeah.
But you know what? It all goes to what we said. That Paul Wolf is one creative SOB. I mean,
yeah.
I don't know how he does it and got him there. And I think, honestly, if he wouldn't have spun the tires, I think Keselowski's the winner.
Right.
I mean, because he had a powerful car. It just, you know. I don't know, man. That's why I don't know if I could stand being a crew chief, man. That's just a lot of pressure.
Well,
you probably can confirm it, Kenny. That's probably why they don't stick around for a lot of time, because that is a high-pressure situation.
Sure, even
you know?
At the local level. I mean, but just this weekend, it's funny. My wife was saying how Steve Sr. is such a different person at the racetrack and away from the racetrack.
Right.
And she's getting to know him like I've known him for 300 years. And she said, I really like that guy. He's family-oriented. He's got his act together. But, boy, he's hard to talk to at the track. I said, yeah, because he's focused. And he's
yeah,
you've
got
to
be focused, though, at the track.
You know, if you catch him smiling and laughing about something, everything's going really well. That doesn't happen all that often.
The greatest thing I ever seen from Steve Minnick Sr. was when he won the championship at the CRA at Winchester this year. To see how happy he was, just like a little kid, jumping up and down. I'm like, dude, I thought you was, you know, you're always complaining about your knees and your feet, and you're like a vertical jump of Michael Jordan. I'm like,
well,
dude.
I'll tell you what, he does that with every feature win.
he does.
I think he'd do a backflip off the trailer if he landed in a puddle of water somewhere and not hurt himself.
Well, we got to digress a little bit. But I got to tell you, Tom, and I don't know if you noticed, but I'm back in the running on the fantasy league, because all five of my drivers were in the top 10.
Who's in front, though?
Yeah, I know, but you know, I was 800 miles behind.
Yes, you were after Daytona.
But I got to tell you, another thing that impressed me on this race was most of the guys were running pretty honest, but the two guys I gained a lot of respect for, again, you know, and I kind of, Kenseth I always have, but Jeff Gordon. You know, Jeff Gordon, you got to feel sorry for the guy, and he felt so horrible. Had that lead, blew the tire, came up in front of Kenseth. We all know Kenseth was going to blow by him
right
at that point. But he had nowhere to go, and his rear end ended up on the windshield of Kenseth's
car. Sure.
And I thought it was gracious of what both drivers said. Kenseth's like, dude, you know, it wasn't Jeff's fault.
Yeah. I mean, you can't do anything with it when the guy in front of you, his tire lets go, and you got no place to go, especially on that short track and that banking.
That's Bristol, man.
Yeah.
That's racing.
That is racing.
There's a lot of luck involved in winning these things.
But it was nice to see with the way Bruton redesigned the track, and like you just said, I hope he doesn't change it back the old way. Three wide at Bristol.
Oh,
that was pretty crazy. You know? there were some great moves there, you know.
Well, you gotta give him kudos again, because when they were three wide, nobody really lost it.
No. No, and this is a good indication of what this car is capable of. I think that once we, once they get some notes under them, you know, we saw the follow the leader and kind of things in the first couple of races, but I think once they get their notes when they go back to these tracks the second time, we're going to have a lot better racing. I think the cars coming in, they're understanding it. Goodyear's getting their tires.
I think we're already starting to see it. But yeah, it's going to take some time. The true test is going to be when they get back on the super speedway,
right,
at Talladega. So
yeah,
but again, they're kind of, you know, go ahead.
You know what? I'll call Talladega and see if they can put some dirt on the track for you.
I don't want any dirt. I want it to be shorter. Run that little Talladega got that little bitty flat quarter mile on the inside where they run bandoleros and stuff like Charlotte does. Let's run on that baby.
That would be kind of interesting to see, actually.
I'm ready.
Yeah.
Let's take golf carts. There we go, a golf cart celebrity race on the quarter-mile bandolero track at Charlotte.
I don't want to see what you two do to each other.
Call them up.
Well, we could have some fun. I have no doubt.
I want a handicap because I weigh more. I need a little more horsepower.
No, he's not Danica either. You know, he's not like 110 pounds. You two are pretty close.
I tell you what, if we get off of them carts, it ain't going to be a slap fest, brother.
Oh, I understand.
And I'm going to lead with my head. I don't care what the NFL people say.
You just what you need to do. Is lay off.
We need to take a break, guys. We'll come back and finish that thought there, Tommy. RadioSpeedTalk.com. And when we come back, we're going to talk a little more Bristol Nationwide, and we'll get into NHRA and the biggest sporting event of the century. You're listening to
Speed Talk.
Talk show for NASCAR.
Yeah. Now that's what I'm talking about.
The Balance Online.
Welcome back to Speed Talk, RadioSpeedTalk.com, Facebook.com/RadioSpeedTalk. Tom, is that Snap This?
Speed Snap This on Instagram.
That's what I meant. All right, Kenny, it's Kenny Barr 52. I'm at RadioSpeedTalk 2 on Twitter. And you can catch us also on all of our emails. Just type in our first name at RadioSpeedTalk.com. Let us know what you think, anything you want to say, all that good stuff. But anyway, Kenny, we got a show we're going to do this weekend. Come out and see us if anybody's listening.
Yeah, absolutely. We're going to be up in Auburn at the Auburn
Victory Museum.
Victory Museum, which is cool in and of itself, actually. Some of the vehicles they got in there are absolutely nuts. My uncle was in a tank destroyer that was made by Buick, American company in American War. Five guys in this thing, and I swear it's no bigger than some of the tables we eat dinner at. Man, oh man, I don't know how those men did it. The Greatest Generation, I'm very impressed. But in the corner of this museum is a Northeast Indiana Racers Museum, and it's got a lot of neat stuff, including some photographs of my old man's car, and I don't know if I've ever told you the story about when his car knocked over the scoring tower at Fort Wayne Speedway.
No, you did not.
Yep, 1953, I got pictures and stuff. That's another road trip story, because it's kind of fun, but when you look at one of the pictures up there, way in the background, this tiny little dude is my dad going to check out the car because everybody else is okay and he's running to see if his car survives or not. But it's a neat little place. If you're anywhere in the tri-state area, you got to go because they got paraphernalia from just about every track you can think of. Old South Anthony, Fort Wayne Speedway, Bryan, a lot of tracks up in Michigan that I can't remember right away. But they're having a big swap meet and a kind of a racers reunion thing, where the last couple of years they would get five old wannabes up there or five well-known racers and one crazy moderator and just start asking questions. It's kind of like the thing we were talking about doing down the road, but we're going to do it one guy at a time. And it's kind of a neat thing. We're going to go up there and try and cop some interviews, do a little guerrilla marketing, let them know we're here, tell them what's going on, tell them how we want to be able to help some of these guys sell some tickets. And come see us. We'll have a table and a banner, and Cliff and I will be there in full dress, whatever that may be.
Well,
walking around with
microphones. Well, I'm going to go up naked. It's kind of cold.
Yeah, I hope you're there in full dress.
Well, yeah, come on up. You coming up there photographing?
I was going to pop in, but I need the assurances now that you are in full dress. I don't
want
to see
that. I'm not you're talking about big. I'm not going in without a trouble.
I am not going in a kilt. We'll guarantee that.
All right.
Now, there's an idea.
For who?
We're a week late. Last weekend.
Oh, no. Somebody asked me what time what a guy's wear under their kilts, and I says, shoes and socks.
Well, that's a good one. All right, Kay, we're talking about you got in the car at 15. Did you feel comfortable? Did anybody around you have any fun?
Hell no. I'll tell you what, I thought I knew what I was doing. And I jumped in the car, and we got there late first day. I never had a practice lap. Never one practice lap. Jumped in the car and stomped on the gas. When I got to the corner, I went, what do I do now? And I wasn't the slowest qualifier of the day, but I was smart enough to scratch my time and start in the back and try to chase these guys. And I did that for probably 3 or 4 weeks until you get used to, of all the weird things you got to get used to, is the sound is way different in a car than it is outside the car.
Sure.
The smells, burning rubber, hot oil, nasty exhaust. And the third thing that really still to this day bugs me is dirt flying. You're on an asphalt track, you wouldn't think there's a lot of stuff in there. There's grit and garbage and marble and stuff flying all over the place.
Well, especially
flying in the windows, flying up through holes in the floor that you thought you had sealed up. And they come getting in your eyes, and you cuss and swear and carry on, and you're trying to drive this thing. And it's funny. But it took about a half season to get to realize, I don't want to use the word brave, but just get comfortable with all the G-forces and things. And then from there we got to going, and by the end of the year we were pretty competitive. But not. And I was, I thought I was Superman. I'd jump in it and I'll show you guys, like all these idiots
in
the stands do.
Especially at that age. You're
in
a race
car. Then you find out, Sunny Beach. This is not easy.
So it comes down to age, experience, and what you've done and how you've worked your way up to that point,
yeah,
I think.
I'd driven cars for Dad. I was still 15. I'd driven around the station and up and down the roads for test drives. And I was more than once the middle guy in a three-car chain when we were towing cars down the road illegally, and you have absolutely nothing to do but steer because the idiot in front of you is accelerating and the nut back behind you is braking, and you're just hanging on. And another story, we were going 90 down 24 in New Haven one day just to see if I would survive the thing or not. But that was the extent of my experience. I couldn't even drive the tow truck. Neighbor guy who hauled the motorhomes for us took his truck up to the trailer that I had borrowed, and away we went to the racetrack. Well, Moneybags took me up there, and Moneybags brought me. He did that for 2 seasons for me.
Wow.
That was fun. But I learned an awful lot. We got that car going fast, and we were a lot of times we were fast qualifier. If not, we were always in a dash. That's a race I miss a lot, the old 6-lap dash or the 4-lap dash, the trophy dash.
That'd be nice to see that come back.
Yeah.
Over Bearfield, yeah.
You know, it's kind of a boring race, but it was an honor race.
Yep.
You know, and that kind of helped the sandbaggers not sandbag as much because we always liked to be in the dash.
Right.
No matter what. And that was kind of neat. So we got to the point where we started in the back of that. Or another race that needs to come back. Everybody hated it. I loved it. I don't know why. The old Australian Pursuit. Remember them?
No.
Oh, the 10 cars, don't matter which 10, start in a single file, and when you get past, you're out.
Really?
Yes, sir. And it was nice to start in the back of that thing, because you let them guys fight it out for about 5 or 6 laps, and if there's anybody left, you move him, and around you go, and you win the thing.
That's great.
I won one of those one night, and I went to the outside and set sail. Started early, because on a short track, when the green flag drops, everybody's racing. So you don't have to cross the start-finish line to go. So I
jumped.
Ron Horta dated a little bit. Yeah, I was trying to think of it. And I got around the first two guys going into three. And I thought, they're going to get me. And they just threw the green, and away we went. And within 2 laps, I had them all.
Wow.
It didn't take long. About $10, you know.
Honestly, don't remember those.
Oh, yeah. Australian Pursuits were something that they would use as a filler if you didn't have a lot of cars, or if the guys wanted an extra little race in there and stuff, they'd stick them in there. I think that one time they called them Italian helmet dashes or something way back when. But, yeah, those were...
Wow.
Well, right. Better than a one-legged ostrich race, although those were more entertaining sometimes.
Well, you know, we're going to have to go into history one of these times. But, you know, we got just under 6 minutes. Do you know, buddy?
Oh, my God. Do you know that at 15 you're not nearly as good as
not as intelligent?
No, sir. Okay, I'll tell you what. We were going to have our guest didn't make it to the studio tonight, so my original plan is shot.
We'll try to get him in next week.
Yeah, well, we'll ask him a whole lot of questions. But so I dug around and found a few tidbits of racing that I did not know, or we'll just kick around for the heck of it. Now, do you know?
Okay.
Because, again, brought to you by wishforourheroes.org, Jeff Wells and the boys. Don't want your money, they want your belief. Go check out the website. They do great things for military families. wishforourheroes.org. Tom, this is for you.
Okay.
On turns, NASCAR drivers can experience 3 G's of force against their body,
mm-hmm.
comparable to the forces pressing down on shuttle astronauts at liftoff.
Okay.
Did you know that?
No.
Well, you do know.
How many? Only 3 G's?
Yeah.
For astronauts?
That's what it says.
I can tell you this, though. I was in Florida a year ago, spring break.
Mm-hmm.
I'll never go again on spring break, by the way. But anyhow, we went over to the Cape, and they have a simulator now that simulates a shuttle launch, and it's pretty interesting.
Been in it?
Yes, did it.
That's neat, isn't it?
Yeah, and I'm not a big fan of roller coasters or anything like that, and it's not anything like that. But it is really kind of cool the way they strap you into that and launch off. So,
yeah.
Anyhow.
All right, anyway, go ahead.
Your body. Where are we at? 409? We're good. That's a big block Chevy. when you're going 200 miles an hour, did you know that you travel 1 second at 293 feet?
Wow.
That's a football field, guys.
Yeah.
1,001.
Wow.
That's better than Manti Te'o's 40 speed, isn't it?
Who?
Come on, there's a joke in there somewhere.
Yeah, I know.
I said,
okay.
Well, he's going to replace Urlacher, by the way, but anyway.
Oh, yeah. Like that. He couldn't even hold Urlacher's shoes. Research shows that fit drivers are better able to handle G-forces, while muscle mass offers more protection in a wreck. So us fat guys, I guess, better not try those 500-mile races. Maybe we ought to just go to the 100-milers. 170 degrees some of these floorboards get, these race cars.
Man,
yeah,
can't even imagine.
I knew they got hot.
You could make yourself a grilled cheese sandwich on one of them.
Yes,
well,
you
imagine,
could.
Imagine what the Indy 500 drivers went through last year when that track temperature was, 108 or something
right.
like that? It was a record down there.
Well, my weird sense of humor, the first thing I thought of was that little monkey Jocko Flacco. And I'm thinking, he gets loose and puts one of them little feet on the floor of that thing. He won't have to worry about opening the right front and looking for that tire thing. He's going to be jumping and dancing in that car. Oh, my gosh. If a driver loses more than 3% of his body weight in sweat, which does that a lot, and doesn't replace those fluids, focuses and reflexes start declining.
I could see that.
Only 3%. So I for some reason, I thought it would be a higher figure.
Yeah.
And stuff. Maybe that kind of explains some of these accidents late that don't seem to make a whole lot of sense.
Right.
You know, instead of guys trying to jockey for position for that extra point here and there, maybe they just didn't react quick enough.
Right.
Which gets us to the other end of the spectrum of how old race car drivers should be allowed to race drive race cars.
All right.
We have a friend driving one at 83 this year.
Mm-hmm.
I bought him, lunch one day, and I thought, damn, and you're in a race car? Okay.
Sensor?
Shh. Oh. We're not naming names. But, yeah, it was Cliff.
Anyway, go ahead.
In a NASCAR race, a driver maintains the same heart rate, about 120 to 150 beats per minute, for 3 hours, as much as a serious marathon runner.
Wow.
Surprised me. And here's one that I think is kind of neat. There's two more, and then I'll be done. A study on anticipatory timing found race car drivers to possess the same ability to anticipate what was going to happen as a hockey goalie or a quarterback, which makes me think of Bob Knight. And one of his analogies in basketball said, mental is to physical as a 3 is to 1. Makes sense to me, and it reminds me of Larry Bird, who had no physical really talent
right.
other than could jump shoot. He's one of the best basketball players that God ever put on earth. And did you know that safety barriers actually have an acronym? Or it's an actual acronym?
Okay.
Steel and foam energy reduction.
Huh.
Didn't know that. Oh, and no NASCAR driver has died since requiring head and neck restraints.
Right.
Since 2001. Didn't realize that.
Makes a lot of sense.
Yes. So some of the neat things that are just behind the scenes at NASCAR all the time, and half the time we don't even think about them.
Well, there you go. Kenny, where are we going to be at this weekend?
We're going to be in Auburn, Indiana. Starting at, I'm going to get up there about 10 or 10:15 or whenever I can sneak out of work and buzz up there. You're going to be up there about 9. And I don't think you knew that yet. No, but it runs from 9 to 3. The doors open at 6 for vendors and race cars and stuff. So come on up and see us.
All right, folks. Thanks for sticking with us. RadioSpeedTalk.com, Facebook.com/RadioSpeedTalk. We got a fly, man. It goes fast. You are listening to
Speed Talk, Tom.
Speed Talk.
Welcome back to Speed Talk. Man, we got rolling on Kenny and I racing in a celebrity race, man. You know, Tom, you started to say something about me being the same size and all that.
I was just going to say, you know, he wanted the weight differential, and I was just going to tell him if he'd lay off the ribs in the media center, maybe that he wouldn't need it.
It ain't happening. You know, I have a few vices in life. They ain't smoking, they ain't drinking, they ain't women, but ribs, dry rub, wet, yeah.
That's you it. You need to let me fix you a slab, because
I'll try them. Diet good. Root beer. Yeah. I have some bad habits, don't I?
Yeah.
Wow, it just breaks my heart. You know, that's living, and that's what NASCAR people are. We're rednecks that love to eat.
Yeah.
Right.
Okay.
Man, now you got me all thinking about this, man. We can hit lawnmower race, and we can do a celebrity race there. We could probably get in the go karts out of Bear Field.
Oh, I wouldn't fit in a go-kart. Jesus Christ, me.
Well, damn it, if I can, you can.
Golf
you ain't that much bigger than me.
G-O-L-F, golf cart.
Oh, man.
That would hurt you. Jesus. I don't want to go that fast.
The beauty part would be not the race itself, but watching you get into a go-kart.
No, getting in's not so hard.
Getting
up tougher now.
I got my first racing injury racing Casey Mears in a go-kart. And you're right, I had a hell of a time getting in that thing. Well, when I went to get up, my hand slipped and my arm went down on the motor and burnt the the stuff out of my finger or my arm there. So that's my race. It's a
dangerous sport.
Yeah.
There's no head and neck restraint. You're going to help him with that.
If you're big like we are, yeah. That's anyway.
That's why I don't do go-karts.
Yeah.
Why not? It'd be fun.
I can't get in and out of them, for God's sakes. I mean,
we'll build one for you.
We need a tow truck sponsor to just lift us up and get out of the thing.
There we go. Let's race tow trucks.
I know where there's a couple.
Wow. Digress. Come back. Anyway, a good race. A couple of people did pretty good jobs in there. But let's talk about the Busch, man, I'm sorry, God, I can't believe I just called it that Nationwide Series.
It's
been, only been Busch for, what, 8 years now?
I thought you were going to go down that physical cliff thing with Danica when you said that. But
speaking of Busch, he won.
Let's go to Nationwide.
But, man, I got to tell you know, we talked about this guy so many times. He didn't have it easy. Kyle Larson came up out of nowhere and beat and bang for a little bit, and very close at the finish line. What, man, out of nowhere. That kid is just impressing me. Brian Vickers had a great run, and he's another guy, I think, you know, once he gets behind the wheel, ever since he had that issue with his lungs and blood clot. And again, top five, Sam Hortis Jr.
And I think you'd said in a previous show, you'd ask Kenny about, you know, if you're in a bad accident, does it affect you down the road? And, I mean, that's pretty proof positive for Kyle Larson that, you know, to come from Daytona and then progress like he's done through the three races, I think we've answered that question. You either have it in you or you don't, and that kid's got it.
He still thinks he's indestructible because he come out of that thing not get hurt.
Oh, that,
you
that
know, that, and he drives a car sponsored by Cottonelle. You can run into things and not feel a thing with all the tissue around you.
Well, you know, and again, and I know you don't like the Toyota Busch, but he had nothing but kudos for that kid. It's not like that SOB tried to run me off the road or bang me up. He said he came out of nowhere. He goes, I didn't, you know, I love winning, but he goes, I didn't want to work that hard to do it.
Yeah, yeah.
And so he gave the kid a lot of kudos, which I was really impressed. So I don't know, man. Bristol, I want to see more short tracks. That's all there is to it. I love Kenny's idea. Kenny Wallace, I'm talking about, where he told us, you always got great ideas. I didn't mean it that way. But he said, take your big tracks and put a small one in the middle, put a half mile in the middle, and then you have one that's a long race and one that's a short on those tracks.
One half mile on Saturday night and a big one on Sunday.
Yeah. And I got to tell you, if you've never been to Bristol, you got to go. There's nothing like it.
We're shooting for the night.
It's sitting in a bowl. It sits in a bowl, and depending on which end of the track, if you walk into the end that's built literally into the mountain, you walk halfway into those stands, and it when you do that, there's nothing like it when you first walk in there.
Let's go down there for the drag race and sneak over the oval track.
That could be fun.
There you go.
The drag race strip is in between another set of mountains, by the way. So
and they put Christmas lights on there
yep.
at Christmas time.
It's pretty cool.
Yeah.
Wow. Sweet. All right, with that, let's talk a little bit about what happened at NHRA, and then we'll tell you about the big sporting event coming up, man. I'm so excited. I can hardly wait.
It better have bacon in it, that's all I got to say.
It does.
Okay.
I'm sure. Well, let's talk with the Top Fuel, man. Antoine Brown, I don't know if you guys ever seen the accident he had.
Oh, yeah. Ugly.
Oh, my God. That car was tore up. He actually still won the race because his car had such momentum. I mean, it did you see it, Tom?
No, I didn't see it.
It was,
well, if you were the opponent, would you try to run over that thing?
No.
Oh, Lord.
Well, the guy had already blew up, and Antron went. He lost control of the car.
Okay.
And something blew, and he went flying sideways, smashed the wall, ripped the entire front, came around, smashed the other wall, and ended up in the sand. And everybody in the world thought that boy was not going to get out of there without an ambulance. He got right up, walked away, and I don't know, I guess it was 5 or 10 minutes later, they were, well, TV time, whether it was
yeah.
real time or not. They interviewed him, and he goes, yeah, he goes, man, we won, I can't believe we won. He goes, I told him, let's get this car put together, and he goes, NHRA said, no way. I mean, the car was gone. I mean,
yeah.
literally gone. And he comes back, and the next race, and he just whoops everybody's rear end. Doug Coletta was up there. He was the number one qualifier. Come flying through there. But Antoine Brown, man, and he beat Spencer Massey again. You know Spencer's got to be getting ticked off because every time he faces him, it seems like he's getting creamed.
Yeah, and they launched almost exactly at the same time.
Oh, it was a great race.
Yeah. Yeah, 3.777 for Antoine, 3.779. Oh, that's quick. I wonder, here is a question that I do not know the answer to, and I know that's hard to believe, Tom, but I don't know this one.
Really?
When they tear up a dragster like that, can you get out your backup car if you can get it ready in 45 minutes? No?
Apparently not in the finals. You can for prelims and all that, but you cannot in the finals because they would not let him do anything. They said the car was too tore up and they would not let him bring out a... So I should say that's an assumption on my part. Yeah, that would be almost difficult, you know.
But golly, they rebuild their motors.
Oh man!
Yeah.
Well,
you know what? Let's put that on our question list for the next big shot that we get on the show.
Maybe that's a did you know segment.
No, it's an interview question, Tom.
Yes, it's a very very good point.
See,
let's switch over to funny car.
I mean, I have to work if I don't.
Johnny Gray comes up with a big win.
Aha! I called that one.
Cruz Pettigron was the number one qualifier. The forces didn't do so well this time, although Robert Height did make it to the semifinals, as did Jack Beckman. But Johnny Gray, nice job. But my impression, or the most impressed I was with, was Dale Worsham. Here he comes off a year, 2 years ago, where he won the Top Fuel championship, and then he was the crew chief for Alexis DeJoria. Last year, and they gave him a car, so he got in the old UHL and ended up in second. And so, I mean, a good job by him. And there was some. Oh, and Bob Tasca, I forgot to mention him. He did not get his 100th. He went out in the first round. I don't know what happened to him, but he got just didn't do it very well. All right, go switch over to Pro Stock here real quick, and Alan Johnson, who kept telling me, thanks to the gods and luck, that he won, because he had all kinds of car issues, but he just beat everybody on the line. Wins on a whole shot over Jay Coughlin, coming up there again. A good job by the defending champion right there. And it almost looks like, you know, sometimes you see a team start the playoffs in the Super Bowl or something like that. You can just see destiny, and it almost seems like that's Alan Johnson this year, because he's had some pretty bad junk, but still seems to be coming up through there. And Kenny,
uh-huh.
The biggest surprise of the weekend. I caught him napping.
Yeah.
The Harley-Davidson got their butt
yeah.
whooped.
I noticed that. And I did not, I don't know why, I don't know what happened, if they just had a bad weekend or they leveled the playing field too far the other way again or whatever, but they didn't get into all that great. Craywood got into the second round, but Arana Jr. whooped him. And then, where did he qualify? Let's see. Craywood, 10th.
Oh, yeah, they did not qualify well at all.
Hines was 5th, which is, you know, respectable, but neither one of them got past the second round.
Yeah, for them, that's pretty sad. But yeah. But Hector Arana Jr. beat his dad in the semifinals to make it to the finals, and he beat out Steve Johnson. And Steve Johnson hasn't been up in a final for a very long time. But gave him a good run, and, you know, you're just talking about the Aranas. They're just pretty awesome. So, anyway, we got a couple minutes left here. Let's talk about the biggest sporting event ever.
Okay, I'm ready.
Hold on, I got to get back to it.
I'm curious.
Yeah.
It has been done. It's been talked about. It has been, well, whatever you want to say. It's just one of those things. On Wednesday, April 17th, there is going to be a big all-star softball game between NHRA and NASCAR.
Yeah.
That's it.
Oh, that's all you guys come on.
Benefit and RadioSpeedTalk.com.
Is there bacon involved in it somewhere?
Well, you're on a cheeseburger.
Bourbon, anything.
Yeah. Where's it
like
at?
A cheeseburger. It is in Kannapolis.
North Carolina.
Yeah, I'm trying to see it's at CMC Northeast Stadium in Kannapolis. But some of the NHRA guys are going to be Tony Schumacher, Brandon Bernstein, Antron Brown, J.R. Todd, Sean Langdon, Clay Milliken, Bob Vandergriff, and you're also going to have Courtney Force, Ron Capps, Del Warsham, Chad Head, and Matt Hagen.
They're all young. Every one of them except maybe Chad Head.
Ron Capps is not young.
He ain't old either. How about he could be the coach? Who's on the NASCAR team?
On the NASCAR team, Kurt Busch.
Beat him.
And he's actually
stick it in his ear.
He's actually one of the originators of this. But you got Kurt Busch, Martin Truex Jr., Clint Boyer, Casey Kane, Matt Kenseth, Michael Waltrip, Darrell Waltrip,
stick it in his ear,
David Regan, Brad Sweet, and Parker Klingemann. And that's what it is. And the proceeds are going to go. NHRA picked the Children's Health Care of Atlanta, and NASCAR selected the Armed Forces Foundation. But I think that's kind of cool, man. I don't think they've ever done anything like that. Everybody always said, who's a better driver, NHRA or NASCAR? Well, let's take it out of the softball field.
Right.
Bet Brad Sweet will break his bat. Who else we got in there?
I'm a little disappointed, though, on someone that's not in it for NASCAR.
Who's that?
Mark Martin. That guy, you know, just keeps going and going and going and going. No, he'd be out there.
He should be the coach. You're 55. You don't want to blow out a knee or something stupid at this age. You don't heal that fast.
Yeah, but as small as he is, he'd kind of be like when...
the way he works out, he's probably, you know, makes up... he'd probably live to be 95 to 100.
And
be walking like a normal person.
Be kind of like when Bill Veeck, you know, sent the midget up there and start small person, whatever you want to call it. I'm politically incorrect, you know, because Mark Martin's that small, they couldn't pitch to him, you know.
Sandy Goodell, I told that story lots to my little league team.
All right, RadioSpeedTalk.com. We come back, we're going to talk a little bit about age and racing and what happened out in California. You are listening to Speed Talk.
Join us next week for The Balance. In the meantime, check us out on Twitter, T-Balance, or Facebook, The Balance, or online at www.thebalanceonline.com.